Shalom, everyone. Operation Gideon's Chariot 2, the new IDF operation in Gaza, has begun. And Hamas, in response to it, has suddenly offered an old proposal for hostage and ceasefire negotiations. Hamas terrorists this last week attempted to kidnap IDF soldiers in Gaza and suffered dearly. The Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, has announced a new committee to draft a constitution for the new Palestinian state, supposedly coming in September. Messianic World Update begins now. Shalom, everyone. I'm Monty Judah with Lion and Lamb Ministries. Welcome to another edition of Messianic World Update. Today's date is Friday, August 22nd of the year 2025. And here's the news for this week. The IDF has now announced a new military operation in Gaza. It's called Operation Gideon's Chariot 2. There was Gideon's Chariot number 1 when they had turned back to Gaza after the Iran conflict and the Hezbollah conflict wound down. And in doing this operation, they've called up an additional 60,000 reservists to join the force down in Gaza. They've also brought in armor and urban warfare units that will support those troops as they go into the last 25% of Gaza, primarily Gaza City, which has approximately 2 million Palestinians in it, and the last remnants of Hamas, and also where they believe the hostages are being kept. The operation is anticipated to be 4 to 5 months to carry out. And they're hoping that by going in, they'll gain the necessary intel to find exact hostage locations and potentially carry out rescue raids to get the hostages back out. Now, there's great fear on the part of the hostages' families back in Israel. As you know, Hamas has threatened to kill the hostages if they think that they're about to be overrun by the IDF. The IDF has also called for mass evacuations of the hospitals in Gaza, as well as many of the residents, setting them up in separate areas to be able to get the civilians out of the way so they can carry out operations there for it. They've also, which is an excellent step, told all international journalists to get out of that area. 28 different nations are protesting that particular move. But as you know, last week we reported that Hamas has been using journalistic cover to support their movements, and they had fake journalists running around as Hamas operatives. So Israel said no more journalists get to be a part of it. Hamas, in response to this massive move on the part of the IDF, suddenly has contacted Qatar and Egypt, and has gone back and removed all the obstacles from the hostage negotiation deal that had been discussed earlier. And all of a sudden, they want to bring back the last hostage negotiation deal, the one where they would release 10 live hostages and some of the dead ones for a 60-day ceasefire, still remaining 10 other hostages that are live and still some other dead bodies and so forth. Anything they can do to hold up the IDF operation. However, even after Egypt has been pressuring Netanyahu to go along with this, and interestingly enough, Trump administration is not pressuring Israel to go for the hostage negotiation. Netanyahu has announced that they're going to expedite the IDF operation timetable. Instead of 4 to 5 months, they're saying we want you to do it quicker. And they've also sent their negotiators, Israeli negotiators, to the hostage negotiators with instructions that we want all hostages released and we want the end of the war, not a partial hostage negotiation at all. Let's end this whole thing. This last week, Hamas terrorists emerged from a destroyed tunnel near an Israeli outpost. This is down in the southern part of Gaza. There were 18 men attached to this small unit. They had dug through this destroyed tunnel, emerged out about 50 to 60 meters from where the Israelis were at. Some of them were sleeping. And one IDF member was seriously hurt. Two others were lightly wounded before the Israelis repelled the attack. Initial reports were that 8 were killed and almost immediately. Others retreated. And now in the aftermath, we've learned that actually 15 of the 18 terrorists that came across were killed. The details include that the Hamas terrorists that set up in a building and were firing RPGs in support of the attacking terrorists, they were taken out by tank fire. A tank actually fired in the building and destroyed them. 2 of them were taken out. And tragically, one of the terrorists got in front of an Israeli tank and got run over. So this is the tragedy of the war, desperate efforts on the part of Hamas to finally use some sort of offensive move against the IDF. Right now, Hamas is hunkered down, waiting on the IDF to come get him. Well, this was an element of them trying to come out and take the fight to the Israelis. It ended tragically for them. As a result, it has revealed that Hamas is still digging new tunnels and trying to restore some of the tunnels that have been destroyed. In review, since May of this year, some 2,100 terrorists down in Gaza have been killed by the IDF. And we're still finding rocket launchers with rockets on them ready to be launched, being discovered by IDF elements, and one of those were discovered this last week. You would think after all this time there would be no more rocket launchers or rockets, but apparently Hamas still has a couple of them left. Changing to an internal story in Israel, we've been tracking the Haredi protests against being drafted into the IDF. These are the ultra-religious parties, United Torah Judaism and the Shah's party, and the Haredi students go to yeshivas as opposed to going to the IDF. They get an exemption from serving in the IDF. Some 2,000 of them have been now arrested, failing to respond to draft notices. There's others that did respond. There's new legislation being worked in the Knesset for a new exemption bill, but it has not passed yet. As a result, because of the 2,000 that have been arrested, protesters, these are the ultra-Orthodox, are blocking roadways in Israel, causing all kinds of havoc and slowdown for the citizens, further infuriating the general population against the ultra-Orthodox, whom they believe they should serve in the IDF just like their sons and daughters do as well. Haredi leaders in those two religious parties believe that studying Torah saves Israel. And I might make note of the fact that they're not saying the God of Israel saves Israel, but them studying the Torah saves Israel. Well, that storyline is just not playing well in Israel anymore. And of course, United Torah Judaism and the Shahs had recently hinted at about pulling out of the coalition government, putting the Netanyahu government to the point where they would have to have a call for a new government to be imposed. But they backed off when they thought that they could get this legislation through, but it's being delayed. Now, they might come back and say, okay, we're going to threaten the government again and bring down the Netanyahu coalition government. But this week, interestingly enough, Benny Gantz of one of the other political parties, who had been connected in the coalition government with Netanyahu for the war, but who'd backed off with the way things were going with the war, has signaled a return to join the coalition should the religious parties try to leave. So this gives Netanyahu kind of a guarantee in dealing with the religious parties. Now, whether or not the Knesset will be able to pass the exemption bill or not is still up for grabs. But I can tell you that the majority of the citizens in Israel want to see these religious parties and the exemption bill shut down. They want to see the yeshiva students have to serve in the IDF just like their other sons and daughters have to serve. It's an internal conflict in Israel. It does affect the readiness of the IDF. We'll have to see how this all plays out. Mahmoud Abbas, the president of the Palestinian Authority, President for Life, has announced that he's formed a new committee to write a constitution. This is in response to the 21 nations that are calling for a Palestinian state this September. If you remember, France and England and so forth have called for a Palestinian state. The absurdity of it is unbelievable. However, he's calling for the Constitution, and according to his stated purpose, he wants to make an effort to bring all of the Hamas, Fatah, and the Palestinian Liberation Jihad organizations together to unite to write the Constitution for the new Palestinian state. This is virtually impossible because these organizations do not cooperate with each other in any way, shape, or form. And the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas, has no political clout, no authority whatsoever. And everybody knows he's just a holder in place until the Palestinians try to figure out what they're going to do, which at this point it appears that they have nothing to do. Now, there's very serious questions that remain about this whole idea of a Palestinian state. Number one, what would be the borders of this Palestinian state? All these nations calling for a Palestinian state. What do you think the borders should be? The Palestinians and everybody have been yelling from the river to the sea. That's their idea of borders to the sea. By the way, river to the sea goes along with the vow, the Islamic vow, to destroy Israel completely. So that's the Hamas mantra, and that's the Palestinian protesters' mantra going on all around the world, river to the sea. So this borders, I guess, eliminates Israel as a state altogether. It just all of it becomes a Palestinian state. Is that what these nations are calling for? Are these nations also calling for a change in the education and propaganda campaigns that have been put on by Hamas and the Palestinians all over the world, all the lies that have been said about the history of the land, the history of the people, who they are, where they came from, all that? The fact of the matter is the Palestinians are Arabs. There has been no indigenous people in the land of Israel called Palestinians. It's a name that originates from the Roman government. But they ignore all of that history. They ignore the history, Jewish history, biblical history about the land. Quite honestly, the Hamas propaganda campaign has succeeded against Israel all over the world. But what changed and what no one could expect was that when October 7th came, and all of a sudden you had the wholesale slaughter of Jews, some 1,200 Jews and all the hostages taken, this anti-Israel rhetoric suddenly turned into anti-Israel action all over the world. Instead of academics spewing hate about Israel and the government of Israel and their misrepresentation to the point of calling upon students to take action, and instead of being embarrassed by the outrageous, barbaric behavior of the Palestinians and coming in slaughtering innocents on October 7th, they proceeded to then go around denying the attack, denying the rapes, denying the killing of children, denying the taking of hostages, and they all began to make an argument for that Palestine and the Palestinians were justified in their attack on Israel because Israel is an occupier, you see. So the campus protests began, not dealing with the atrocities on Hamas, actually supporting Hamas and protesting for Hamas and the Palestinians, thus river to the sea. Democratic and liberal leaders all around the nation and in many states, all of a sudden they jumped on board and they began being supportive of academics in college and college professors began to support these protesters, allowing them to carry out illegal actions, harass Jewish students, and all of these actions taking place, threats and harassment to Jewish citizens here, even in the United States. State and local governments in the U.S. began to participate in this nonsense, mostly democratically controlled areas of where it was taking place. But now that's what we have going on. And to my shock, and I think to the shock of many other people, I would never have dreamed the United States of America would have participated with other nations like France and England, Australia or Canada, to follow in these footsteps. But apparently part of the elements in this country are actually leading some of it. Israel has begun to block some of the visas for those leaders in those other nations calling for a Palestinian state. And the mantra that we use for remembering the Holocaust, never again, apparently the seeds of the Holocaust are happening again, and they've forgotten the never again pledge that was made by all the nations of the world following the Holocaust and World War II. In Lebanon, armed groups are beginning to disarm as required by the Lebanese government, including the Fatah elements. This is the Palestinian elements that are in Israel, part of Mahmoud Abbas's party. They've begun to disarm and they're in Lebanon. Lebanon is also asking Israel to cease from military strikes in Lebanon against the Hezbollah targets. UNIFIL, the mission, this is the UN group that has been sitting on the Lebanese border, supposedly keeping Hezbollah separate from Israel and Israel separate from Hezbollah. That mission has utterly failed. And the UN, Israel is now asking the UN to dismantle that whole process. The U.S. is in agreement with it. It's not working at all and never has. UNIFIL, however, this last week, along with the Lebanese army, discovered a Hezbollah cache of weapons and a tunnel they had dug going all the way down to the border with Israel. And so they've uncovered that. Hezbollah is still resisting disarmament, and it's a shame to them should they disarm. It's like a surrender for them. But the Lebanese government is still persisting in telling Hezbollah they must disarm. As long as that happens, Israel will continue to back off. There's also negotiations going on with the United States and the Syrian leader, potentially with Israel, in an effort to try to bring about some kind of a peaceful resolution with that. That's a whole nother conflict. Not sure that the new Syrian leader can get the minority groups to cooperate with him because he's kind of inflamed all of them. However, there are signs that it's looking up and becoming safer for Israel. We'll hope for that. We want to continue to ask you to pray for what's going on in the Middle East, particularly in Gaza with Israel. Thank you again for viewing this program. Remember to like and subscribe our YouTube channel. That helps us. For more content, no commercial interruptions, subscribe to lionandlamb.tv. And our weekly programs are all available on your favorite podcast program. You get a free Yavo magazine each month in digital or hard copy format if you sign up with Lion and Lamb Ministries. And our weekly programs are all on your social media platforms, whatever you want to be on. I want to also remind you that this next Sunday, August 24th, is an interview with Eddie Chumney and myself. And we're reviewing the subject of Jacob and Esau, the biblical story, and how it is the roots of the conflict in the Middle East today. You will find this to be very enlightening to explain all of the conflict going on between the Palestinians and Israel and show you the biblical basis for what is happening. And not only that, but what will be happening according to the prophecies of the Bible. Our fall holidays are coming up very shortly. We would love to have you join us for the Feast of Tabernacles. You can register for that at tabernaclesevent.com. And until then, Shabbat Shalom, everyone.